Good morning, welcome to the Beach Business Breakfast Show. This morning we've got Tracy from Beryl'sfield Golf.
Yes, that's right.
How are you going?
Oh yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Excellent. We're inside again, even though it's beautiful outside. Surf's a bit big, quite noisy, and tide's a bit high. So yeah, beautiful winter weather. So just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month. Remember, the Surf Life Saving Club function room, $10, you get to meet great business people like Tracy and all the other members. We've got nearly 400 members and have about 40 to 50 at our breakfast, which is very informal, and so yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, how are you?
You good? I'm really good.
Shut the door.
The rain keeps us here all right, doesn't it?
Yeah, we had, I think, 58 at June, and yesterday about 47, so but yeah, it was quite good. Very good. Good morning. We had a great session from Jim and John Garris after it on zero accounting. So hopefully zero will succumb to our relentless pursuit of them as a sponsor.
Yeah, quite a lot of people stayed, and John spoke well. Yeah. Like, it's quite easygoing kind of presentation. And
it's about as exciting as accounting gets, I think.
Yeah,
fair
Zero is a pretty sexy product. Like, if you compare it to like what people did with their accounts 20 years ago, like, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, it's very, very good. Links to your bank account, and you can do it on the bus, on the train, at home.
Just as long as you've got internet.
As long as you've got internet, yes.
The cloud.
The cloud. So anyway, enough about Zero. And so Tracy, tell us a bit about your background.
What's your golf handicap?
Hilarious, I don't play golf. There's a good reason for that.
You've
got to choose the right personalities, I think, to take it very seriously. But Beresfield Golf Course is all about having fun. So it doesn't really matter if you play golf or not. And many places, times we have cards for people to record their scores, but they very rarely take them because they're just, it's not part of the
Beresfield game. Beresfield Golf Course is like the least formal golf course in Newcastle.
Possibly
like the most
New
casual
South
one.
Wales, possibly the whole of Australia. I'm not really sure, but certainly
we think it's probably Beresfield's closest thing to Royal Troon, where the British Open is. It's probably closest. So if you're in
Royal Barrow.
Royal Barrow,
that's the best golf course in Beresfield.
Absolutely, yeah. So how did you guys get involved in that?
We run a golf course down in Nowra, the south of Shoalhaven, a golf range, and we saw the opportunity to move up this way. Council put out a tender for that.
Yep.
We won the tender. We have a 5-year lease to run that golf course at this point in time.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So it's a council course?
It's a council
course. Was the one down in our council course?
No, it wasn't. We privately run that.
Okay, so you still do that?
We still run that as well.
Okay, that's good. So what's the difference between, say, running a golf range to running a golf course?
Well, it's funny because what you notice in the clientele is people who play at the golf range don't like to play the game. They're never good enough and they just focus on their practice.
Too hard on themselves.
And they enjoy the hit.
They just go to hit the ball.
You get the casual guys who just hit the ball just for fun, and then you get the serious practice when they're I just can't quite get this. Keep practicing. And then on the golf course, you ask them about, practicing at the golf range. I'd rather play. So it's almost a completely different market. And one should, you would think, complement each other. And they do, because you're bringing in two types of golfers. The idea is to put them together at the same location. And actually, that's what our plans are for Beresfield Golf. We're going to put a golf range in there. When you are practicing, you're seeing people play, and vice versa. Makes it a little bit easier.
Excellent.
Like a driving range seems like it's a quicker thing too. Like golf seems to me like it's a bit of a mission. Like you've got at least a few hours, I guess. You go to like somewhere like the Vintage and you spend all day getting around the course.
To get value for money for
that. I think that's why carts have become popular, because it does sort of reduce
some
the time.
Some just too big, aren't they?
You do for 18 holes with maybe a shandy at the end. It's 4 or 5 hours, isn't it?
Very much so. We're lucky we've got an 11-hole golf course. But the day and age of golf being an 18-hole golf course, and the pre and the post, it's a day's out.
Only retired people have time for 18
that's
holes
right.
on a Sunday. Yeah. Like their entire day is tee off at 8 or something, and then finish at 3, beer at the clubhouse, it's a full day mission.
If you're in a comp, if you tee off early, you got to wait for the end and then the scores.
That's right. Giving out all the prizes.
It suits a certain market, and that's probably not the people who are playing at Beresford, I guess.
No. I mean, they do have a club, and they do play regularly on a Wednesday and a Saturday. But it's an 11-hole golf course, so you can play 18 there. And for the comp people there, you know, they enjoy that extra 18. But socially, I think the 11 hole is nice. It's 2 hours.
And it's a pretty close course too. They're not too long. No. Like you're not hitting five times to get to the hole if you're an average non-golfer person on a long golf course can spend a long time getting from tee to hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. It's definitely a shorter course. Mm. And that's why I guess people go there and they can have fun. You know, the carts don't really save necessarily that much time.
Yeah.
Because you still got to, you know, depending on where you're actually hitting the ball.
And if the people in front of you are walking or something, spending a long time sitting in the cart.
But the good thing about having a cart, if you've got a mate, is it does bring you together to do the talking and the socialising and catching up and the business deals or whatever it is that you're doing when you're with your friends.
You're in a little car for an hour or two. Compelled to talk.
Yeah. Have a joke.
Talking about business deals, we're having a golf day out on the 23rd of September.
So, yeah, I've locked it in.
Yep, locked it in.
So who invented foot golf? Is that your creation?
No, it was invented in the Netherlands. And it's an international sport.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They have an international competition. I think they had that in about March or April this year.
Yep.
And it's gone very well in Europe and in the UK. A lot of the big golf clubs
there. Lots of football players there, isn't there? So
yes, exactly. And in America too. So what's the
demographic of foot golf? Is that sort of...
We see a lot younger males.
Okay.
And we do see younger kids coming along to the golf course.
More women play football?
Have a few more.
Yeah, okay.
But because soccer is quite popular.
Anybody that can kick a soccer ball or round ball.
Yeah. Probably see more females playing foot golf than we do the golf, unfortunately. Yeah. We're hoping to change that. We're introducing ladies' clinics.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, anyone who can kick a ball can play the foot golf.
Yeah.
So it probably appeals to a slightly younger market than... And it also takes less time. Yeah. It takes an hour and a half-ish.
Yeah.
That's the top time.
Yeah. Also, it's new, at least I think, new to Australia, I guess-ish. So
only four courses at the moment, maybe five.
So you're not going to rock up and everybody else there is like super duper awesome at it. Like everybody's gonna be pretty average. I mean, I'm sure there are good people at foot golf, but there's probably not that many of them in Australia.
Quite a few people have played foot golf over the years, just not officially.
So, right. They may not have found the hole.
I thought your ball was behind the tree. I know it bounced.
They've done foot putting.
Yeah, yeah, like the leather wedge.
Yes.
So when the tender that you won, did many people put in for the tender?
We don't really know the exact number.
Do you know why? Did they say why?
We know why we put in a very strong application.
Yep.
Our focus is on the community.
Yeah.
It's a community facility, and we really want to engage people in using that facility. And foot golf is part of that because as you've pointed out, golf isn't for everyone.
Yep.
But foot golf invites a lot more people, and with the driving range.
Yep.
Now got a DA also approved for putting in a mini golf putt-putt.
Oh, good.
So again, that opens it up to the whole family concept.
Especially because you've got schools nearby the course, haven't
you? Yes, quite a few schools.
That sounds like it actually might be fun.
Yeah. it's the sort of thing that there's a range of different things.
Like that's right.
You look like...
Quite appealing.
Yeah, you look at like companies, say like McDonald's, now have hamburgers, they have a healthy stuff, they have cafes.
That's right. They diversify their products.
Yeah, they have. So it was where it was a sort of... There's more people they're going to attract.
That's exactly
a bit like that. You've got them. Some people go putt-putt or mini golf. Some people want to do the driving range.
Some
you could have a family
golf.
Do all different things.
That's right. Parties and gatherings.
Yeah.
And, so that's how we...
Kids parties, those sorts
That's
of
right.
Things.
Well, the foot golf has certainly brought a lot more of that kind of business to the golf course. So gatherings of, bucks and bucks days.
Yeah, so it reminds me kind of like the norm... No shoes, lawn bowls.
Yes,
barefoot bowls.
Exactly.
Like it's a kind of casual. You probably do want to wear shoes when you're playing foot golf, I assume. But it would appeal to like a non-structured, non-competitive well, start with non-competitive kind of group of people, I suppose.
That's right. We really want to get together. Let's have some fun while we're doing it. You might kick a ball around on the beach. You might do that on a golf course.
Yeah.
And, you know, these facilities cost a lot of money. They cost a lot of money to maintain, to develop. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, it's just trying to get more people utilising these facilities.
So what type of marketing have you done to get foot golf even like aware? Like, nobody's going to Google where can I do foot golf, I guess.
A few people do. Yeah.
But it's not a great awareness, I wouldn't think. If we went out on the beach and surveyed 100 people, I'd be surprised if 5 or 10 knew what it even was.
Yes, we put a Facebook post out and we said, we put it out to the community, if we get 1,000 likes of foot golf, we'll bring it in.
Yeah.
And it was incredible, like a week and a half, we got the 1,000 likes.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And, you know, because they had to share it to get the likes. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, they knew if they wanted to do it, they needed to.
So then, you've got a built-in audience for we've got foot golf
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, promoting that through to the soccer clubs and the organisations. Uh-huh. Although that sounds easy and straightforward. Try and find the right people, and those who have the time, I guess, is the tricky thing there. But certainly, any time who comes there, are you a part of a soccer team? Grab a card. We offer a deal for a team.
Yeah. Yep. So you could even have a competition, couldn't you?
It's also a good off-season team building kind of exercise.
It is very, very good for that.
Yeah.
Like we've taken out some of the jets in the outrigger, like for a paddle off-season, just to, I guess, something different that's not going to be just running around a football oval.
Yes.
So that seems like it would have a good appeal for
Absolutely.
That.
That's what we find with the more mature, the senior teams, is that they enjoy it for that kind of team building or just having a get-together.
Yeah.
Even for the kids, though, it's great because you have to have the ball stopped. And I don't know if you've ever seen children when they first play soccer.
Yeah.
They're just helpful, but they kick it. They don't look where they're going. The coaches always say, stop the ball, then kick it.
Yeah.
And this is a static ball, so it kind of gets them in that groove of
also
focusing, where am I kicking this ball again? So it helps focus their attention. So there's some really good skill development at a junior level and fun. And
so what other marketing have you done for the course,
For the course itself, well, to be honest, it's been mainly digital, online. I've recreated a completely new website. We haven't done a lot of mainstream advertising.
Yeah.
Generally, people who want to play golf,
they know where to come.
Well, it's easy to find golf courses on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, there's plenty of directories.
And also, Beresfield isn't a new golf course.
Been there for longer than me.
It's been there for a while. And so, what we're trying to do is, if anything, with the website and things that we've got on there, is the rebranding.
Yeah.
Making it feel fresh and casual.
Yeah.
And
so you've got there's a sort of baseline of demand of people who just want to go and play golf anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't matter whatever the conditions.
And now the focus is on trying to grow that golfing community by things like blogs, Facebook posts, the benefits of golf, appealing to that the output, because whether you're playing the actual game, and as I said, very few people care about their score.
Yeah.
Spending that time with their friends, their family, quality time.
Seems like a natural fit for social media. I always think anything that's fun or family or fashion basically fits into social media. Like that's dead set. People are on social media type pages or just that kind of community type website
activities,
because they want to, they're probably taking photos while they are there, or little videos and putting them on Snapchat.
Oh, we wish we had more of those. We do invite people to share those. Great too, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, when we have Bucks parties, we say, would you like a photo? Oh, yeah. So you get them and they all do their poses
and
share that. And of course, that has a really good it's the word of mouth.
Absolutely, yeah.
The word of mouth. And that is the most powerful marketing that we do, probably.
Yeah. That's
kids' birthday parties.
Especially
do that with the mini golf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So what's the sort of time frame for the mini golf?
Well, the DA's just been approved. I'm just putting together a plan for the actual development, but we want it to be in place by summer.
Is it hard to design a mini golf course? Or there's a template you download that's like.
But there are people who do that.
You're going to get some rocks.
It's a special
rocks.
We're going to. Part of my plan is to get people involved in the design of the features of the golf.
Yeah, cool.
Yep, yep.
We've got the layout, so that has to be part of the DO.
Kind of crowdsource the, the elements of the course.
I want to get some design students to get involved and put their name on and sponsor the holes.
All right.
That'd be a good PR opportunity too, to sort of promote that, getting that done and sort of build a bit of momentum behind
So I'm approaching TAFE. Actually, it's literally in my next week's thing to speak to the design areas and say, this is a project we've got on plan. Do you want to present this to their to your students?
I think that's that early buy-in creates the momentum to give you customers when you turn on, when you open the gate kind of thing. Like if you've got 6 months of, which you have, 6 months of people going, oh, there's a new mini golf course. Mm-hmm. And then it's getting more and more interesting and oh, here's the foundations and now it's just about finished.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Then boom, you've got 100 people, 1,000 people who will go, oh wow, mini golf course.
Yes,
whereas
that's right.
Otherwise it's, open the door and the crickets chirp. Like.
Great, so you know, the idea is to show the progression of the course and its development, and it's, that's your lead-in time, isn't it?
Yeah, make sure you do a time-lapse.
Time-lapse, oh gosh,
that's
been a bit technical.
Oh, no, you can do it professionally, like so there are photographers who'll do a time-lapse and might cost you, I don't know, a couple of $1,000 or something. Mm. If you want the budget version, mark a spot, like a cross with some paint on the ground, and either a tripod or be careful and try and stand in basically the same spot each time with the same height, and then just take a photo each day or a couple of, every couple of days, something like that, and then join them all together and you get a time lapse.
I might contemplate.
And at the same time of the day too, it'd be good because
the light changes.
Otherwise, the shadows are like swapping and changing from side to side. So
we can just put, always putting up regular things as it's coming together, get people like it, get people to share it. You know, have the countdown to when it's opening.
Yes, that's right.
You can do voting on things like, do we want a windmill? Yes or no? Do we want, like, I don't know, like
a windmill, it's funny.
Mickey Mouse themed.
Yes, well, we've decided on a theme. We're going to keep it Australian. Because, you know, there's still the big tourist market in terms of going to the Hunter Valley.
Yeah.
And we wanted to keep it Hunter Valley oriented, but we I think the broader appeal in terms of those tourists will be more Australian.
Yeah.
And if we keep it too junior, like the superheroes, and it might not appeal so much to the other
Australia, groups. Australia sounds good. Does anyone ever put sand traps in a mini golf course?
No, not normally, but that could be something.
Nothing is impossible.
Water traps?
Yes, it's definitely water traps.
That sounds great. Well, yeah, just a reminder about our golf day out there, 23rd of September, so hopefully a few of the Beach Business Breakfast members will be there. There'll be at least a couple of us because we're coming.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a fun morning and you'll be at work by 10 if you want to, or later if you don't. And
we'll have
a breakfast and some foot golf and normal golf. And
try both. Try either.
Yeah, try both. So thanks for coming in, Tracy.
You're welcome.
Great. It's good to hear about any plans for more courses that you're going to look to take on, or just stick with the two at the moment, like the range
We always keep our eyes open for opportunities, but you know, I'm a strong believer in securing and consolidating what you have before you decide to grow.
You've got some good goals to achieve before you do anything else anyway, and that sounds pretty exciting.
And also, you know, you've got to make sure that the systems and the staff are in place before you grow rapidly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's where we're at.
That's very good advice. So just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, 7:30 to 8:30, $10. Come along and you'll have a great time, meet some great business people.
And it is great.
Yeah, you can do a podcast and get in the newsletter and,
a lot of good business stuff. So, awesome. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tracy. See you later.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.